2006. I was trying to fill an empty banker's box with a few important or sentimental items before I left that office for the last time. I spotted a framed picture of Sumner Redstone, chairman of Viacom, outside of UCLA's Pauley Pavilion before the 1993 MTV Video Music Awards. Sumner was covering up a smile as he stood under a large homemade banner that read, "Repent, MTV scum," held aloft by two holy rollers, one in a Jesus Saves t-shirt. It had been less than 24 hours since the now 83-year-old Sumner had fired me in his Beverly Hills mansion amid a battery of huge fish tanks that lined the walls of his living room. I felt like I was being taken out in an aquarium, harpooned by a mad Captain Ahab. I had not seen it coming. I had entered the company in 1980 as the marketing guy at the startup that would become MTV, rising to president in 1986. Then for 17 years, I held the position of CEO of MTV Networks, the sun in Viacom's solar system. In that role, I ran MTV, Nickelodeon, Comedy Central, VH1, and other cable TV networks. In 2004, I became co-president of Viacom and added Paramount Pictures and the publisher Simon & Schuster to my portfolio. 2 years later, I was made the CEO of Viacom and Sumner's personally designated successor. But no more. Now, I stood in our Manhattan office tower one last time, defeated, picking up a few pieces from what had been a euphoric 26-year run. The job, in all its incarnations, had been the center of my life. I knew with 100% certainty, when I took over as CEO of Viacom, that I would eventually be fired. Redstone had fired both of my predecessors, good men arguably more talented than I. But when I was offered the job, I had to go for it. Running a Fortune 500 company is the career gold ring. I should have had a clue that the axe was coming. Sumner Redstone liked to fire people on holiday weekends. The last two took their bullets on a 4th of July and a Memorial Day weekend. Mine was on Labor Day. I had only been fired once before. Back in 1970, I was a bartender on St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. I made perfect daiquiris and other rum concoctions, but the owner wanted to give my job to a friend of his who had just gotten out of prison. "Ex-cons deserve a second chance," he told me. Who was I to argue? I hopped on my motorcycle, and as I rode into town, a bird shit on me. I've been told bird shit is good luck. Plenty of luck lay ahead. This time around, it wasn't an ex-con taking my slot. It was Sumner's estate attorney, Philippe Dumont, a colorless balding man with a mortician's demeanor and a penchant for gold cufflinks who liked to tell everyone that as a teenager he had gotten perfect scores on the SATs. A few years later, after Dumont had hollowed out the company, Sumner dusted him too. But that was in the future. For now, my goal was to sneak out of the building with my dignity intact. No bad-mouthing or whining. Just me, my cardboard box, and a chainsaw. There was no getting around that I was deeply embarrassed. On Redstone's CEO firing scoreboard, I'd set a new speed record. 8 months on the job. I had solid plans for the company and was just getting warmed up. The part of me that suffered from imposter syndrome and wondered if I had really earned my success whispered that I was being unmasked at last. Now I just hoped that none of my people would see me go. I took a last look around, said goodbye to my long-serving assistant, Diane, and got into an elevator. But when the doors opened on the first floor, I couldn't get out. The cavernous 1515 Broadway lobby was jammed wall-to-wall with people. I thought it must be a fire drill. Instead, it was a flash mob of employees gathering spontaneously for me. Later, CNBC said there were over 1,000 people. They were chanting, "Tom, Tom, Tom," and the occasional, "Fuck Sumner." It was a rolling, thunderous ovation. You'd think I had just won the Super Bowl. My people were